I love the book of Nehemiah. I love the person of Nehemiah. Amazing man of God. Someone who I would describe in character as a very noble man. I want to superimpose over the text of Nehemiah this verse from Isaiah 32:8 that says, "The noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands." The noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. Well, the last thing I want to do is try and stand up here and make any assumptions about my nobility or noble character. It is something I certainly aspire to, and it is something that I want to declare and say, I would hope that this church would be in the business of discipling and developing a character of nobility among the youth, the children, the adults, all of us, that we would then make noble plans and by noble deeds stand for God. Let me talk a little bit about and break this down, three-part sermon. Noble character. We see that in Nehemiah. What an amazing example. I asked the elders at the elders' meeting on Tuesday, how would you define nobility? I love some of their responses. A noble person is someone who is faithful. A noble person is someone who's trustworthy, honest, admirable. You admire that kind of a person. A person of integrity and a person of Christian character. So you got Nehemiah just encapsulates that. When you go through the book of Nehemiah, you realize this was a godly and reverent man. Throughout the book of Nehemiah, you've got all kinds of his prayers recorded, and you see the passion for God, for God's glory, for God's goodness, and for the righteousness of the people. You see that he lived out of his own means. He was an honest man. He had integrity. And even though he said that the governors before him, they would tax the people and then live off of the people, he would have none of it. He was supposedly a very independently wealthy person, but he wasn't about trying to amass more wealth. Instead, he lived off his own means. Moreover, he even said that instead of, you know, them bringing him food as governor, he fed 150 people at his table. He was a generous person. I love that he defended the poor. While they were in the business of rebuilding the walls, some of the poor people came to him and said, "We're losing our homes, we're losing our land." And it was the wealthy Jewish people, their own brothers, that were doing it to them. That in time of economic strife and crisis, and they were having to sell their land and high interest, and finally even they were, some of them, being sold into slavery. Jews among Jews. Nehemiah got wind of this and he would have none of it. He called those wealthy people together and he said, "This cannot be." And he made them promise right then and there to give back the land and to free these people from their slavery. He was a defender of the poor. I love that about Nehemiah. He shared in the work and he shared in the risks. He was right there. He wasn't just barking orders and sipping a margarita. He was right there working with the people, he and his contingency, he says, and he shared in the risks. He was a marked man. The Jews in that time had a lot of enemies around them, and they were making threats, and they were trying to intimidate Nehemiah, and they were trying to bring him down in particular. He shared the risks. I love the person of Nehemiah. This is a noble man, a godly man. How do you go about developing the noble character, therefore? Well, I would say it's a question of discipleship. But I love in Romans 8, we get some great indications of how you develop this character of nobility. Throughout Romans 8, you get words like this. Paul says that we are to live by the Spirit of God. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. We are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And then the result is that we will be conformed to the likeness of God's Son. It's exactly what I was trying to tell the little kids up here. Like Enoch, we're to walk with God Well, how do you walk with God? It's just like I was trying to tell him. His instructions are right there in the Bible. We got to be reading God's Word. That is the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. We got to be reading our Bibles. As we learn to walk with God, what happens is His Spirit literally gets inside of us. And as we give ourselves over to God and His Spirit, being led by the Spirit, counseled by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, soon we're being controlled by the Spirit. And the result is that we conform to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, if we're being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, will we have the character of nobility? My goodness, yes, we will. Above and beyond Nehemiah, the greatest, most noble person was Jesus Christ. And we will have His likeness. That's how we develop the noble character. Noble planning. Now, you heard the saying, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Well, so you do need to do planning in life. But you notice for Nehemiah, his planning was born out of prayer. So as Juanita read this morning, you know, he was greatly distressed by this report that came back to Jerusalem or from Jerusalem. And so what did he do? He fasted and he prayed. And as he was fasting and praying, he was dreaming. His planning was born out of prayer. And I would argue that is the kind of planning that we can describe as noble planning. The noble man makes noble plans, and then by noble deeds he stands. And the promises that we have from God, we can stand on those promises. As we pray, well, Jesus made some amazing statements, especially in the book of John. John 16:24, he says, until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. That's like this billionaire, multi-billionaire, giving you blank checks. All right. As you need something, here's my checkbook. I give it to you. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Bill Gates giving you a blank checkbook. We've got something better. The God of the universe owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has given us blank checks. Now, I'm not even going to go into it. I just have to mention, I mean, Jesus does say, you know, in John 15, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, you know, you want to try and make your planning and do all your things apart from Jesus, those blank checks are going to bounce. God's not going to have anything to do with that. But as we are tied in with Jesus, grafted in that vine, and as we are walking with God and His Spirit inside of us, and we're praying, and all of a sudden, out of those prayers, dreams start to come to us. Noble planning is all about noble dreaming. We all need to be accused of DUI. DUI. Dreaming under the influence. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. DUI. As we dream under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that's where all of a sudden noble plans are born. The kind of plans that lead to some amazing, amazing actions. Something else I wanted to say about those noble plannings. The importance of solitude and silence. Or silence and solitude. Because, and I love, and I put down there Dallas Willard in your notes, and Dallas Willard, one of the gurus of discipleship and spiritual formation, just died months ago. But he noted silence and solitude is two of the most important disciplines to teach young disciples. I watched him in a video and I was really almost surprised by that. I was thinking, well, Bible study, and let me teach them how to read their Bible. And he said silence and solitude. And I think Mrs. Frankweiler answers that question. Mrs. Frankweiler, who is that? From the book, the children's book, and I love this title, From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Vasily Frankweiler. We were reading that to our kids the other day, and I heard this amazing statement. It was great. And so she answered the little 12-year-old girl. She said, I think you should learn, of course, and some days you must learn a great deal. But you should also have days when you allow what is already in you to swell up inside of you until it touches everything. This is spiritual dreaming, okay? spiritual daydreaming, really. She says, and you can feel it inside you. If you never take time out to let that happen, then you just accumulate facts. And they begin to rattle around inside of you. Well, you can make noise with them, but never really feel anything with them. It's hollow. See, if we never take time out for spiritual dreaming, for silence and solitude, and we're just in Bible studies, and I know pastors, theologians, and I could probably get an amen from Jerome on this one, filled with facts, and they're rattling around, there's a hollowness inside. So we need to have that time to just slow down. That's hard in our generation. Slow down, dream, silence, and solitude, spiritual dreaming. And what gets born out of that can be some amazing plans. And from those amazing plans, some amazing actions. When I talk about noble actions, it's God-centered activity. Noble actions are going to be God-centered. And so, it's, again, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if all your actions are other-centered or self-centered, God forbid, then the result in God's economy, in God's kingdom, will be you're doing nothing. It's hollow. It's emptiness. A bunch of rattling around. So it's God-centered, and may it not be centered on anyone else. And in your sermon notes, I put some reference verses there if you want to take them and follow up. And in your week this week, look some of those up and use it as devotional material. Great. But here's what I'd like to, a big point I'd like to make. Noble actions will impact generations. Bob Beale is a Christian leader of leaders, and he says, when you're dreaming and when you're planning, you should dream so big. You're making 50-year plans. You're making plans that would outlive you. They go generations beyond you to where credit, doesn't even matter who gets the credit. You don't need the credit. It would be something that would impact the generations. When Nehemiah went in and rallied the troops and rallied everybody and they built up the walls, they did noble actions that had a lasting impact for generations. I was watching this wonderful video, monumental Christian video, and it really talks about our Christian heritage in this nation. And it talked about the pilgrims. Amazing to learn about the history of the pilgrims who came and first established the first settlement here in America. I mean, they were, oh my goodness, were they noble people. The noble planning that went into that venture to sail across the ocean and the noble actions, it was humbling. It was inspiring. And their impact has lasted for generations. Although, I would say that impact is crumbling. And the point I would like to make is, it is my estimation, it is my belief that our society, and certainly the Christian foundations that have served us for generations in this country, they're crumbling. It's not just walls that are down. It is the very foundation that needs to be repaired. And therefore, I am calling out. And at the beginning of my ministry here, I want to call out. And just like Nehemiah came in and made a rally cry, that we would be in the business of restoring foundations. Not just in this church and ministry in this church, but in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. May we be about the business of discipling and developing noble character, the character of nobility in our midst. Making noble plans, dreaming big, plans that would make an impact for generations. And by noble actions, may we stand together, and stand up for Christ, no matter what to come. But we know what's to come is all in God's hands. And we know that all things will work together for the good of those who've been called. And that is His promise to us. So as we lift ourselves up and present ourselves to God, God, let it be.